First, I want to say a huge thanks to everyone that signed the petition, and that without this public campaign, I'm confident that site would be a bare, devastated-looking bomb site, because that was the intention of the committee of management. Despite their recent statements, which have progressively softened it, so our position has remained the same from the beginning. It is that they should talk to the gardeners to work out how to solve the safety issues. We have no rejection of the safety report. We acknowledge there's a report. It needs to be addressed. We came up with a practical solution within a few days with support of Stephen Jolly, offer from the CFMEU. The safety report, in fact, had about seven items that, if you look at them, condensed down to about three, which was just remove the laceration risks, remove the impalement risks, and smooth and widen the paths. That is what the report said needed to be done to make the site safe. Now, almost 4 months later, the farm has failed to do anything on that, but it has used it as an excuse to pursue their own agenda, which is really a fundamental change. And I think what we've got here is a culture clash. It's a clash between bureaucracy and community. So the community gardens represent 42 years of the Yarra's community growing food in an informal, relaxed, happy space. And what's come along is a bureaucracy which wants to impose its vision over that. And to do so, it's necessary to destroy what is there. So that's the fundamental argument here. And it's all masked in lots of words around accessibility and safety and so on. But what they're doing is they're using this at a, they're proposing a state of perfection in terms of all these bureaucratic rules. And the result is the exclusion of everyone from the use of the site. The standard they're proposing far exceeds the farm itself. If they applied that to the farm would be shut down forever. And so here we are, 4 months later almost, no time frame offered as to when we would get back in, and they are doubling down on the idea that the only way to let us back in is to completely change the site. Now they've softened the words, it's now refurbishment. Originally, it was clear the site with heavy machinery. That statement was made, it's a direct quote from Nina Collins, chairperson of the committee, I think she is, or the president of the committee, when they made the announcement of the closure. She said they'd been advised the only way to solve these issues was to clear the site, and it could only be done with heavy machinery. And they keep backtracking on all of these things, and that's because of the public support that we've had showing the disingenuous nature of their communications. So we met with them within days of this of the closure. We proposed a joint statement where they would jointly agree that we would address the safety issues immediately and we would engage in a consultation process with them about the future of the site. So we've never ruled out their vision of the site for the future, but what we've said is you cannot leave it unused for an indefinite period of time, while that vision is carried out. And still in their response to the petition, and I encourage you to read it, it's all very vague. They talk about what they're going to do. It's going to be a community garden at some point. But, right now it's a devastated site of weeds and it needs to be solved, right? So that's our position. We continue on. It's only through the support from the public community, through the petitioners, through other public support, that we finally managed to get through to Lily D'Ambrosio's office. She, in turn, delegated resolution of this matter to DELP, Department of Environment, Water, Land, Water and Planning. And we have been in communication with a senior DELP person who is facilitating meetings between us and the Committee of Management. So I've had two meetings so far. It's painfully slow process, and the committee has been absolutely reluctant to make any concessions whatsoever to their position. But we are encouraged by the what appears to be a pretty genuine approach from this senior DELP staff member who's overseeing it, and he has said he is committed to have as many meetings as it takes to solve this matter. But we need to keep the pressure up, and we need to keep pushing our case, and ultimately the committee management needs to be seen for the, you know, the failure of their administration of this bit of land over a long period of time. So I guess I'm not sure how I'm going for time, Giles. I know you had a time. I don't want to use up too much of the time, but I just perhaps make one brief comment. You talked about plots being cleared for $25,000. This was mentioned by Nina Collins when she announced the closure, and we've been able to piece together various bits of information. So we don't definitively know what has happened here, but our theory is that this could be the catalyst for this whole miserable exercise. So what happened was Angelo, who'd been one of the original plotters for 40 odd years, went into aged care and gave up his plot. It was a double-sized plot, about 40 square meters. And then the next thing you know, in the farm's last year's annual report, that they had given that plot to two social enterprises, Street and Cultivating Community. Now, if you look them up, you'll find their turnover combined is about $10 million a year, and they receive about $2 million of public funding. Why did they farm need to give two plots, which normally should have been allocated to community members, to these businesses? Well, apparently they needed them to train people. No doubt, we speculate that this would be some sort of publicly funded training program, so there'd be money coming in from that. $24,000 was paid apparently to cultivating communities to do the work as a contractor. It was also stated in Nina's original closure speech that cultivating communities was the contractor that advised them of the need to clear the site. So if you put all these things together, what's happening is this is taking a public asset, a community garden, giving it to commercial enterprises, which involve in tens of thousands of dollars, amounts of money which would have totally resolved all of the safety issues. But apparently these enterprises stated they couldn't use the plots for their training exercise because the surrounds was too dangerous. So we believe this was the catalyst for the original safety report, and everything flows from that. So we have to ask, 40 square meters, the farm is what, 16 hectares. Could they not find 40 square meters of garden plot for these partner organizations to do their training program and leave the gardeners to the community? It's just outrageous. On top of that, over the last couple of years, every time a plot has become vacant, instead of allocating the people who've in good faith put their names on the waiting list, what do? They've reserved them. They firstly said they'd reserve them for communal plots, but they never found a community to use them. So there's about six plots that are allocated communal have never been used. And at the time of the closure, 20% of the plots were held by the farm, not allocated to the community, and not used. So this is a complete failure of management. And, you know, this contrasts with their statements, which make out to be, you know, extremely serious, responsible managers. Well, it's a nonsense.